I'll ask us to turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 1. Second Timothy and chapter 1. Start reading from verse 1. Our focus is verse 6. Stir up the gift of God, which is in you. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. Among them are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Now the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, in Jesus' name, amen. Happy New Year to those who have not met since the dawn of the new year. Would you believe it? 8 days have already passed. We only have 357 days remaining before we get to 2024. I can't wait for Sunday, the 31st of December, 2023. The fireworks, the noise, and the countdown, of course. The WhatsApp messages, the forwarded images and videos, and not forgetting the irritating GIFs, the GIFs, they call them. That's what I got for a gift, the GIFs. Gift without a T. in it. GIF, graphic interchange format. The thing which is neither a video nor an image, is somewhere in between. It has no treasure, it has no tea in it. What a treat. And of course, that's what many of us see as the brighter side of life. Well, the psalmist, in this case, Moses, in Psalm 90, verse 9 and verse 15 to 17, he says, "For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years with a sigh. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil." And then he says, "Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, the work of our hands. And the work of our hands gets established to a large extent as God works in us and through us by means of spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, "Stir up the gift of God which is in you." This second letter to Timothy was written in the final days of the Apostle Paul. He had coached and mentored the young Timothy, who was now an elder and a pastor at the church in Ephesus. And Paul was serving his second imprisonment in Rome. In fact, he was on a death row. Soon he'll be executed, most likely by the wicked and terrible government of Emperor Nero. And Timothy was dear to the heart of the apostle. And in this letter, he gives him a series of instructions mixed with sentiments of affection, of warnings, of reminders, and encouragements. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 is a powerful exhortation. And an exhortation is an address strongly encouraging, actually emphatically encouraging or urging Timothy to do something. In this case, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Let us examine this verse. Verse 6. Under this theme, under this topic, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Notice firstly, the solid foundations upon which this statement is based. The solid foundations upon which this statement is based. There are two foundations, actually. Firstly, there is the experience of salvation. I hope you have noticed in verse 6 that there's that word, therefore. Therefore. That word, therefore, tells us that what he's saying is connected to what he has said earlier. Stirring up God's gift is based on the salvation which Paul was confident Timothy had, just like his mother Eunice and grandmother Louis had. He says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, which I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, without this change of heart, which the Apostle Paul is talking about, without this faith in Christ Jesus, it is not possible to stir up the gift of God. Spiritual gifts are given only to those who are born again. Paul says, stir up the gift of God, because he is sure. And as he says, he is confident that Timothy has a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift basically is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to believers for the purpose of church growth and church edification. It operates within the realm of God's people, among God's people. The unbeliever may have a special talent, but it is not counted as a spiritual gift because it operates from a heart that is still in bondage and defiled by sin. It is a heart not indwelt, a heart not controlled by the Holy Spirit. Admittedly, many unbelievers do good to humanity with their exceptional talents and natural abilities, we have to admit. But that is in the realm of God's common grace and providence. God is our creator. He is the sustainer of all things. He chooses what to do. He blesses whom he will. He makes the rain fall, whether it's on the land of the righteous or on the land of the wicked. He is a sovereign God. What we are saying, friends, is that when one is saved, they automatically get blessed with the Holy Spirit, who gives them a spiritual gift. And there are others who have their natural talents renewed and sanctified. God chooses what to do. He gives as he wills. Paul is saying, Timothy, you are saved. You have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, do not get discouraged or ashamed of my chains, of my suffering. Do not let anyone intimidate you on account of your age, on account of your demeanor. You are a Christian. Therefore, stir up the gift of God which is in you. That's a strong foundation, dear friend. The second foundation is Timothy's knowledge of God's word and work. Take note of verse 6. Therefore, I remind you. Remind you. Timothy, he says, you know how you got saved and what God has been able to do through you and your parents. Therefore, I'm just reminding you about what you know. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14 and 15, Paul says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy knows these things. Reminders are good. And sometimes we forget easily when things are tough. when we feel isolated, or when we feel neglected. Paul says, therefore, I remind you. Our knowledge of scriptures and experience of God is a solid foundation for this exhortation, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Without this knowledge or experience, it is difficult to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. You may need education first if you are saved. A spiritual gift operating in or with ignorance misleads multitudes. That is why when Paul is giving instructions about the selection of elders, he emphasizes that they need to be mature. They need to have this experience of God and his work. It's serious business. And many of us are gifted in several ways. And some of these gifts are very public. They involve lots of people. And if we are not rooted in the Word of God, if we do not have this foundational knowledge in God, we will mislead a lot of people. People who have no proper teaching end up believing whatever the man of God says. Even if he says, let's go outside the church and eat grass, people go out. And the guy comes with the mosquito spray. It's clearly written, doom. And he's spraying and you're there. I'm receiving the anointing. What anointing? You are inhaling poison. I would rather that you do not eat grass. I would rather that you eat grasshoppers or mice kebab. That will give you a bit of ground wisdom, but not necessarily being clever. You may not be clever. You need something else for that. Well, a gift operating without wisdom results in pride. It is important that the gift is guided by the scriptures and holy living. And there are certain doctrinal basics that you cannot do without as you exercise your gift. Friends, even the great Apollos that we read of in Acts chapter 18, verse 25 to 28, we are told that he preached, he spoke the word of God or talked about the things of God accurately, but not adequately. Some people had, a couple had to take him aside to explain the word of God to him more adequately. They knew what was at stake. In Apollos' use of his gift. But we are told the man accepted the encouragement. It takes great humility to admit that we need improvement in certain areas of our gifting or ministration. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. The issue with Timothy, though, is that he seemed to have waned down in the use of his gift, therefore needed a reminder to revive it. So those are the two foundations, dear friends. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have foundational knowledge and experience in his word, in his work, as you exercise your spiritual gift. Second point, the action being called upon in this statement. It's obvious, isn't it? Stir up! And to stir up means to put to flame, to rekindle, to revive or bring back to life. It's like what you read about in Genesis 45, verse 26 to 27. Remember Jacob, who, as far as he was concerned, his son Joseph was dead and buried. And for years, for over 20 years, he mourned. He wasn't at his best on account of these events that unfolded before his eyes. And Joseph's brothers went to Egypt and went second time. They came back and they explained to him that Joseph is alive. And the Bible tells us that he was stunned. His heart stood still. He could not believe them. And then the brothers went to explain what Joseph had mentioned. And then Jacob looks at the beautiful cars around which Joseph had sent so that they carry the father and the entire family, the wagons and so on. The Bible says his spirit was revived. That's the word here. Stir up. And Jacob then said, my son Joseph is alive. I am going to see him before I die. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. How do we rekindle the gifts that we have? Firstly, we must remove what is preventing the fire from blazing or from glowing. Remove the hindrances. Get rid of those hindrances. Remove the wet grass or the overcrowded sticks that are preventing the fire from burning brightly, that are preventing the oxygen, the air from getting in there. Remove them. And misplaced priorities and ingratitude can lead to complaining and blaming others for failure to complete our tasks with joy. And Martha, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 41, is a typical example. Jesus comes to visit their home. And what, by the way, what a blessing it is to have Jesus Christ in the house. What a blessing. The one who is creator, who knows all things, who can read our thoughts. To have him in the house, what a blessing. What a blessing to have a parent, to have a child in your home who has Jesus Christ in them, who has the Holy Spirit in them. What a blessing. What a blessing to be in church, just to sit in church. Because where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, there he is in their midst. And Martha is distracted while the sister is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha comes out of the kitchen, blazing with flames of complaints. Master, don't you care that my sister has left to do all the work? Tell her to come. Tell her to get up and come to the kitchen to help me. Lots of things here to be done. In fact, if you read that chapter, read those verses, she seems to be blaming Jesus indirectly for the overwhelming tasks. But Jesus, as I said, reads our thoughts, reads our minds. He knows what is upon the heart, and he addresses her key problem. It is not the work that she's doing. She's doing a good work. And Jesus doesn't mention about the work that she's doing in the kitchen, the hospitality. Jesus says, you are troubled. You are anxious about many things. Only one thing is needful. Check yourself. Remove your bitterness. Focus on Christ in your service. I believe if she was working with joy in the kitchen and mumbling or uttering a prayer, Jesus would have heard. Because he's everywhere. He knows all things. Don't blame others or God for the many things you cannot achieve. Learn to prioritize. Learn to remove anger, hatred, jealousy, envy, malice, and anything that stands in the way of serving Jesus Christ with gratitude. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. Jesus was in the house and in the heart of Martha. If she served with gladness, that was okay. Jesus examined her heart and knew exactly what was going on. Remove the hindrances, friends. Stir up. Secondly, we must respond positively to opportunities the Holy Spirit provides in line with his word. And there are so many opportunities where your gift can bring to bear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, our reliance on God's word is a sure sign that we trust God's covenant promise to Abraham, to Jacob, to Isaac. Think of it. Joseph of old. Joseph, a young man, sold in slavery to Egypt, believed in the covenant-keeping God. That is why he used his gift while in prison to proclaim the greatness of God, actually to proclaim the gospel while in prison. He could be trusted while there. He wasn't complaining or grumbling in prison. He was busy proclaiming Jesus Christ. And even when he comes before the king, he says, no man has the wisdom to give interpretation. Only God in heaven. That is a proclamation. In a very difficult environment, in a pagan society, he stands out with his gift and ascribing power to the God of promise. Think of David. He sent to search his brothers, but an opportunity comes up. You might say from nowhere. No, it's from somewhere. He's a young boy. He can't even fit in that armor. But God has blessed this young boy. And this opportunity is perfect for him to bring down this giant called Goliath. And why does David come before this mountain with confidence? It is based on God's covenant. It's based on the word of God. Because he says in 1 Samuel 17 verse 45, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. God is at the center. Redemption history is at the center. It's in the mind of David, as young as he is. And based on God's word, he demolished, he dismantled, and discarded the threat that was there, which caused problems among the children of Israel. An opportunity came before him, and he took hold of it. Most of the great accounts in the Bible are linked to ordinary people making use of their gifts in very difficult circumstances. Think of Mordecai. Think of Esther. Take the account of Naaman, that commander in Syria. He was cured. He was cleansed of his leprosy. and experienced the redemption story before the New Testament came to be. A picture of how God in mercy would bring in the Gentiles in his kingdom. But guess where the story started? A young girl, a slave girl from Israel, who gathered courage and spoke of the prophet in Samaria who would deal with the problem that the master Naaman had. And these are the words she said: "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." What is that? That is the proclamation of the gospel. There is Jesus Christ who can take away your sin. There is balm in Gilead. There's a healing for God's people. Proclaim that message. It is in you. It is not far from you. Use your gift wherever you are, in bondage or free. God has bestowed upon you that opportunity that you may use it. And opportunities start small and very often blow or grow in our faces. Do not despise the day of small things. Zechariah 4, verse 7 and 10. Just picture yourself on a hill, and there's this big, big, big rock. And when you look at your strength, it's small. You can't push it. But my friend, this morning I'm encouraging you. Push it. Push it. And the big rock will move. It may seem impossible, but just do it. The stone will gather momentum and roll away, and perhaps it will be very difficult to stop. Do not despise the day of small things. Perhaps you are feeling like Samson this morning. Samson of Judges 16, verse 28. You are feeling like, I've brought shame on the name of the Lord. I've sinned against him. My strength is gone. My eyes are gone. I'm useless. It's because of my recklessness. Your strength is gone. You are being mocked and despised. Well, my encouragement this morning is that, like Samson, get hold of the pillars before you and pray. Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me proclaim your greatness and the glories of Jesus Christ to these men and women who are dead in their sin and trespasses. Do it. Push the pillars, and they'll come tumbling down. It may be that the people who will get saved after the pillar tumbles down through your dying action, the people who will get saved that day or in that week, in this season, in this year, will be more than those that you have ever talked to since you became a Christian. It could be. Do it. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. I want you to notice, in the third place, the motivation for stirring up the gift of God which is in us. We've seen from the first point that there are foundations, two foundations. We've seen, secondly, what we are called upon to do. But the Apostle Paul supplies a motivation to Timothy, verse 6 and verse 7. What should encourage us or motivate us to stir up or rekindle the gift of God? First of all, It's God's abiding presence in us. Look at verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. It simply means that the gift is in him because of the Spirit or God's presence in him. You would not have the spiritual gift without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. No wonder the Apostle Paul says to the people at Corinth, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" 1 Corinthians 6:19. We have the greatest support needed to rekindle the gift and to become effective in the church. It is clear in verse 7 that the Holy Spirit gives us power so that we achieve effectiveness. We achieve God's work effectively. And he provides the right disposition, the right attitude toward God and others. Love. And we do everything out of love, don't we? Gifts without love are useless. 1 Corinthians 13. The Holy Spirit also helps us focus so that we are not disorganized. We are not everywhere as we do God's work, ending up complaining like Martha. Therefore, the Spirit gives us the spirit of discipline. And the word used in New King James Version is sound mind. Actually, it's discipline. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Another motivation is the public affirmation we receive from the church. A public affirmation. Not just God's presence, God's abiding presence, but the public affirmation. Look at verse 6, the last part there. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That phrase, through the laying on of my hands, should be read side by side with 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, which says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership." It would appear that Paul was like the leader in the eldership when they were laying on of hands. They were laying hands on Timothy. And that's why in this second letter, he says, through the laying on of my hands. These two verses are referring to the same event. The point is this, that Timothy was publicly acknowledged as a gifted pastor, preacher, and teacher when he was commissioned. The action of laying on of hands did not transmit the gift. It would appear that he had the gift already when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ while he was young. But what the church did through the elders was to officially and publicly acknowledge and affirm. Timothy should be encouraged and motivated by that affirmation. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. Remember that occasion, that event when we laid hands on you. Remember, Timothy. And here at LBC, we have affirmed many people through public acceptance into membership of this local church. That in itself should be a source of motivation, my friend. It's a kind of a laying on of hands by the leadership as we present you to the church, and the church affirms. We say, stand up if you're accepting these people. You will love and support them. And the church stands up. They are affirming that you are not only a member of this church, but you have a special gift from God, which you are going to utilize here. Take that as a point of motivation. But also, it should be a point of warning, because we'll be held accountable on the judgment day on how much or how far we have used our gifts. Well, how do we conclude, my friends? I have three things as I end. Firstly, if the gifts we have are from God, we need to be grateful. We need to be thankful. Why? Verse 6 tells us, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. It doesn't come from us. It is God who has given it. And he chooses what gift to give to you. It's a gift. It's something freely offered to you as a Christian. It's different from the neighbor. It's different from the other Christian. Nevertheless, it is a gift of Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. So you need to be thankful. We cannot afford to be like that guy in Matthew 25, verse 24, who buried his talent simply because he thought it was small and that his master was a hard man, he said, who reaped where he did not sow. Ingratitude or not being thankful can also be a sign of pride and envy. We are not happy that someone else has a spiritual gift that we think is cool. Oh, yeah, that gift is cool. I think if I had it, it better sits on me than him or her. No, that's not biblical thinking. We forget that all gifts can only be effective when they work together. We are a body of Jesus Christ. During the men's soccer World Cup event recently, we heard a lot about GOAT, GOAT. For those of you who are not soccer lovers, that's fine. You can forget about GOAT, but it means greatest of all time. Okay, greatest of all time. Let me say this. We have no gods among believers. We have no gods in this church. We have no gods in the body of Christ among God's people. We only have S-H-E-E-B. Sheep. Servants helping. Evangelizing, equipping people. Those are the ones we have. Let us be thankful that we have these blessings. Let us multiply what we have to impact more people this year. And Jesus is a great example, isn't he? In the use of spiritual gifts. He gave himself totally to his office. As a prophet, as a priest, and as a king. And he laid down his life for us so that we may be where we are right now. Saved, born again. Grateful servants are faithful servants. If the gifts we have are from God, we need to be grateful. Secondly, stirring up or rekindling our gifts is a call to action. We must make a conscious decision, more than a resolution to get up. Conscious decision to get up and to get out there and proclaim Christ. Let us set 1 to 3 things that we want to achieve this year using our gifts. Some of us have multiple gifts. Do not get distracted by doing everything yourself. Focus on one thing. This year, I'm going to focus on this and this and this. 1 to 3 things. And do those things very well. Put it on your calendar. If you need to, set the alarm clock. Tell a friend. Tell someone to hold you to account on the use of your spiritual gift. Do something for God this year. Don't just sit there. Do not just talk. Send a text message, some encouraging text message. Not just forwarding. You know, people are in the habit of the forwarding syndrome. You know, something comes, they don't even watch it or to analyze it properly. Forward, it's forward, forward. Stop forwarding this year. Start something original. Send something which will encourage someone truly. And I'm serious. Most of these messages that are forwarded, actually 99% have a crooked doctrine. Either there's some mysticism or they are man-centered. And somehow when we just read through, yeah, I think this is okay. We have enough scriptures to encourage people with. Do it, my friend. Do something. Send a text. Send some money to your parents. Do not neglect them. Send that free will offering to the church. Support African Christian universities. Do something. Do something tangible for Jesus. We are told in Acts 10 verse 38, when Peter is preaching and to the household of Cornelius, he talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Won't you follow Jesus Christ and his pattern this year? Do something. Do something good. Like your master, Jesus Christ. It's a call to action. Oh, that by 31st December 2023, we'll look back and fail to count the number of good things that you will have done. Thirdly, stirring up or rekindling our gift is a call to prayer. God's gift in us cannot be rekindled without relying on the giver. We need him. We need God. We cannot do it on our own. Let us resolve to pray more often than usual. When God's people pray and do what they are supposed to do, great things happen. Again, Jesus is our example. Mark 1:35, early in the morning, he rose and went into an isolated place to pray. And also, before appointing the apostles, he spent all night in prayer. Luke 6, verse 12 to 13. Oh, friends, pray without ceasing. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. In Jesus' name.